1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 22 lists eight brief exhortations that we've been considering lately. I refer to them as my responses to God because they are spiritual activities that believers seek to fulfill by God's grace as the Holy Spirit enables them. Praying without ceasing, giving thanks in every circumstance, and the like are responses to our God who loves us and wants the best for us. And they're constantly in play for believers. They are daily, hourly activities, and that we should be very careful to maintain. They're important for those who love God, want their lives to glorify their Redeemer, and to be as spiritually productive as possible. In addition to these exhortations, we also looked at verse 23, which is Paul's prayer for the saints. He prayed that God would sanctify those believers, and of course, by extension, us, in every part, and to keep them pure until Jesus comes again. And it's important to remember that sanctification is not a work of God alone. He does not ride roughshod over us in order to accomplish this process, which is a purifying process. The blessed work of sanctification requires our cooperation. And those who love God and want their lives to count, of course, will be busy in doing the things that God has exhorted us to do through the apostles, through the scriptures, commanded us to do. And we know that that will be for our good and for others' good as well. But even when we do what we call our best, we will not perfectly fulfill even one of them, at least not for very long. We're like the servants in Jesus' illustration in Luke 17. As he says, "So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do." Nevertheless, those who love God and love his righteousness will, by his grace and power, keep trying to fulfill the expectations which he has laid out for us in his word. And when we realize that we might have failed along the way, even though that failure makes us sad, we are not to give way to despair. Instead, we are to have hope. Because we know our God uses even our feeble efforts ultimately to make us more like him. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 3, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear," he's talking about Jesus coming, "we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." And then he adds this, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Well, Jesus is certainly pure. And as we look for his coming, and the expectation that we will be like him in every way, we'll have glorified bodies, we'll have purified souls, that we go on purifying ourselves. And of course, this is by God's grace and the Holy Spirit's working in us. So while we're in the process of becoming more like the Lord Jesus, isn't it wonderful to know the truth that Paul expressed in Philippians 2, 13, that it is God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. So it's not all up to us. We simply have to be willing and cooperate with God and seek to do our best for him by his grace. He also gave us Ephesians 2:10, which follows that great passage on salvation is by grace through faith. And Paul wrote, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, saints are active, and they are seeking to please God and do those things that He has commanded us to do. We don't earn anything. We simply want God to be honored and our lives to count for His sake. So after my responses to God in the last part of 1 Thessalonians 5, we have God's responses to me. And that verse 23 is, as I said, Paul's prayer. Let's look at the truth of verse 24, at least part of the truths of verse 24. Very brief verse, but a lot in it. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. One of the great characteristics of our loving Heavenly Father is that He is faithful. The primary meaning of this word is, of course, that of being reliable and true to one's word. We admire steadfast character in others. They keep their promises. They're dependable. We can trust them. But God's faithfulness is infinite and eternal. We can always trust Him and never doubt that if He said it, it is true and it will come to pass. And those who really do know God have that confidence and trust Him fully. Now, there's no lack of references in Scripture about this attribute that God certainly has in perfection and that we should reflect in our own spiritual character. I believe it would be good just to remind us of some of these statements. You'll find some, I think, very familiar, and maybe one or two might be not as familiar. In Jeremiah 10, we have the Lord, that's the name of Jehovah, the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. And the famous 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. In 2 Thessalonians, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Corinthians 1, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no, for as many as be the promises of God in Him, and he's talking about Jesus there, in Jesus they are yes. Wherefore also by Him is our amen to the glory of God. That's just the New American Standard's translation of 2 Corinthians 1:18 and 20. In John 3, we read that he that hath received His testimony, he's talking about Jesus Himself, he that hath received His testimony hath set to His seal that God is true. In John 8, Jesus said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is called by a number of different titles. Among them, faithful and true. The Amen, the faithful and true witness. He that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. And finally, 1 John 5, at least finally for now, 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." So this faithful and true God is the one who graciously calls his people to salvation and to service. Now, as I was checking on passages describing God's calling, I frankly found too much to add to this challenge this evening. But I'll mention a few for us to think about for now. I'm letting the Apostle Peter give us some truths about our faithful God and his calling upon us. 2 Peter 1:3, "According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." 1 Peter 5, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, establish, strengthen, settle you." In 1 Peter 3 also, we are called that we should inherit a blessing. In 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And 1 Peter 1:15, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Now, this is the God who has called us is faithful. And he will enable us to do what he exhorts us in these passages through the Apostle Paul to do, in order that it might be for our good and for his glory, and make eternal that which pleases him. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Let's pray. Gracious Father, thank you again for another look in your word. These are things that are abundantly emphasized in the truth that we have in the scriptures. Pray that we'll indeed put full trust in you, even in those hard times of life. And as you've called us to be even a priesthood, may we intercede for others and minister in such a way that they are helped. We thank you for rushing to meet our need through the Lord Jesus Christ and his perfect work. We thank you for the calling that you have called us with and what the results of that calling will be. And we thank you for actively engaging with us in the work of sanctification. Help us by your grace to be the kind of people who will love to obey you and bear fruit for you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.